budget overruns, brick devices, data breaches. Building connected products is hard. Welcome to Over the Air. Sharp, unfiltered conversations with executives about their IoT journeys, the mistakes they made, the lessons they learned, and what they wish they'd known when they started. I'm your host, Ryan Prosser.
Welcome back to Over the Air, IoT Connected Devices and the Journey. My name is Ryan Prosser, CEO of Veri. And today we're joined by Ellen Baim, SVP, IoT Strategy and Operations at Keyfactor. We're going to be talking about quantum computing, firmware, and open source. Ellen, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. How are you doing today?
Doing great. So for those that don't know, would you mind giving us 30 seconds on Keyfactor?
Of course. So Keyfactor is a cybersecurity software company. We've been around for about 20 years, and what our focus is around involves certificates and keys and key management and certificate automation. So certificates and keys are critical, essential pieces of technology that are used to establish secure connections between things. And what I do at Keyfactor is all around taking that technology and making sure that it's compatible with these brand new IoT devices that we're launching in these multiple verticals around. So super exciting and glad to be here talking more about it.
So my first question, I think, is about the relationship between firmware, certificates, Keyfactor. This is something we think about a lot at Veri. They seem very intertwined for you guys as well. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship between them and Keyfactor's?
So let's maybe start with an example. So pick an industry and let's go with medical, because I think a lot of people can kind of relate to medical devices. So whether it's like an insulin pump or a pacemaker or something that is performing some really critical function to help monitor health or manage a bodily function, right? That device, if it's connected to the internet, is something that has code that's running on it, firmware, right? That is creating the functionality, that's maybe pulling some data that a doctor or someone is analyzing to give statistics about your health. We don't want anyone to be able to connect to that device and read that data that's coming off of it. So this is where the whole security thing comes into play and kind of what we do to help manufacturers of these devices make sure that they're securing those connections. So again, a way to do that is by using certificate-based authentication and by taking a certificate and embedding it into that edge device. So that then allows, with this technology called public key infrastructure or PKI, allows us to have a specific key exchange and to be able to prove the authenticity of someone who's trying to connect to a device or connect to the cloud backend or application or whatnot. So that's basically how we think about taking a security piece, combining it in with the firmware that's running the functions of the device, and then being able to establish this really secure IoT stack that upon which you can really trust all the data and trust that no one's intercepting your devices and maybe changing the firmware or making it operate in a way that it shouldn't.
A person thinks about security here, the ability to hack or be a bad actor. It feels like the topic of quantum compute, it feels like there's both a promise and a peril to this topic. I know this is something that you guys think about a lot. Can you talk about that? Like, how does quantum computing keep you up at night? And then I guess, what's the corresponding side that you guys are excited about? Because it feels like on the security side, we're seeing threats that you couldn't have envisioned 10 years ago because the computing requirements would have been unthinkable. Now they're, I don't want to call them commonplace, but they're certainly not unthinkable.
Right. You're totally right on. And I think this is so important for the IoT and IIoT space, because we are developing products, whether that is a connected vehicle or an electric vehicle or an autonomous vehicle, or it's something to do that's in a factory, like a piece of equipment that's doing, you know, laser cutting or a 3D printer. These assets are, they're really intelligent. They're next gen technology. And when somebody buys that, they're going to want it to last for 15 or 20 years. Okay. So that's the current state of selling those types of kind of new tech. As an OEM, as a designer, again, you understand the importance of security and securing those connections so that no one can hack in and change your code, like we just said. Well, you've got to be able to future-proof. And that's kind of what we're talking about, but future-proof when it comes to security and cryptography. So what we do today is we put in the best, strongest algorithms developed by some really, really super intelligent people in the cryptography community, many of which are on our team and are helping along with several others to come up with the algorithms that NIST will be approving that say that they are post-quantum computing resistant, which means that they're super strong, right? And they're harder to crack because this whole quantum computing thing, like you mentioned, is when a computer is out there and has the processing capability to crack these math algorithms that are in our standard cryptography for today, then anyone, it's like, you know, open season for anyone to kind of get into these devices. So we are in the cryptography and security community, know that this is going to happen. And so that's why we're collaborating to come up with better algorithms and then implement that into our certificates and our certificate technology and sort of test that out. The last piece I will say about it too is just to be able to have a method to connect to these devices that you have deployed in the field and update them when this event happens. So it's not like a set and forget. So you can't just put out, you know, well, you should be putting out the best state of crypto and all that that you can today, but you should have a process for how you can go and update those later in life. And that is something that we're seeing in industry trends and guidelines where certain industries are saying, yes, use certificates and keys, but you have to have a way to manage them and update them so that they can be refreshed regularly, just like we refresh our passports or our driver's licenses and things like that. It's kind of the same concept. So that's kind of what we're doing here for Quantum is just being part of the conversation and testing out the algorithms and then making sure that we're ready for that state when we are going to need to be able to update all these devices and assets that we have that the community, I guess, has created and deployed.
So Ellen, I have a follow-up. The number of devices, I mean, it's like hockey stick on steroids. Is this something that you guys think about? We were talking about certificates, managing firmware certificates at scale. The scale is gigantic. I mean, I talk about promise and peril. What does the future of this look like? You know, there's a lot of humans and it's growing. There's a lot of devices and that's growing faster. I mean, from the vantage point of 2040, this feels like a gigantic problem. Business people would say opportunity. What's key factors take on keeping up with that kind of growth?
It's a challenge. So IoT as a technology is past that, you know, curve of, you know, I forget what that's like startup mentality, you know, you got to get over the hump and all that stuff. Like IoT is there. Everyone knows the benefits of it. And now we're sort of ramping up into more and more industries and applications adopting IoT technology. And so, yes, 100% agree with the scale and the number of things that we need to manage. And so from our perspective, a key factor, it's finding a technology that can issue unique secure certificates and keys at a really, really rapid scale. So like how many can you make per second coming out of an issuing a certificate authority to be able to handle the production rates that we will have and that we are having in several industries where you're producing really high volume medical devices, where you're producing wireless modules, where you're producing chips or secure elements or things that have unique identities in them. We're doing this already today. And so we've designed our underlying technology to be able to handle that use case specifically, because we know that that's something that is never going to slow down when in terms of what comes to volume. Then on the second piece is the management. So kind of what you said about how every device needs to have that unique certificate and then every certificate we have to manage it, that's only also going to continue to grow and grow. And so we have again, I don't want this to be like a big product kind of thing, but you have to, as an OEM, think about how you're going to have visibility into all of those identities that you've issued, that you've produced at different, you know, timeframes, right? You've got different production lots, you've got new product lines that you launch, and all of those, you kind of have to think about how you're going to manage them. If I can give one more example of a specific industry outside of medical that I already mentioned is smart home. So we are members of the CSA and as are several other vendors and OEMs of smart home technology, but the Matter protocol from a security standpoint based around the use of certificates. And so this has been something that's been developed over a couple of years with this core group to say that this is the best way to do this is when you stand up a new product line, you have a new issuing identity. And then that's kind of how we establish trust between my thermostat that's made by company A to my door lock that's made by company B. And then we have this whole trusted within your home security smart home network. So I think it's a little bit of that too. It's also being able to kind of follow standards and then make sure that we have ways to manage and have visibility into all these different certificates because you can't really do that manually. You have to have some sort of industrial commercial tool to help out with that. And that's kind of what we help our customers solve.
And I think it's a very needed thing that you're doing because you say it can't be done manually. I mean, we know this at Verri. There's companies out there attempting to do it manually. You know, we're trying to help them get there, but it seems like that's a core part of what you guys are, your value prop is saying, listen, you can get to maybe dozens or hundreds of devices manually, but you're not going to get past that. And it really doesn't make sense to even do it at dozens to hundreds because it isn't just the scale, it's the room for mistakes, God forbid, breaking devices, et cetera.
Right. 5 years ago, you know, new product engineer said, okay, that we're using certificates. We're going to put a unique thing in every one of these devices that we make. They get sold to like Target or something. And I'm making that up. This is just for a reference. You can picture it. They get sold in the stores. And then 5 years later, the certificates expire because they were intended to expire. Like you put an expiration date on them for a reason, but this guy is no longer there. Nobody knows how to develop them. You got to like rip and replace all of these units. And so that's the kind of thing, like truck roll or whatever it is, there's a field replacement. And we know that that's difficult. We don't want to waste hardware. So there's like a kind of compounding effects there. So it's think about like, what is a holistic security strategy that you want to have for your company? And, but you also don't have to start with every single product line from the beginning. Let's just, you know, maybe start with one new product and say, okay, this is what we're going to test out. Let's do some kind of proof of concept. We'll do it with a couple hundred devices, like you mentioned, and kind of just see how that goes. And as you evolve, just make sure that I think the platform that you have can evolve and grow with the scale that you're going to need, because that's really what we're all going for here is just more and more IoT devices and systems being able to help us kind of run the things that we do every day.
So Ellen, before we go further, we're going to talk a lot about certificates, I think, in the next couple minutes. Maybe not everyone's familiar with that term. They're thinking gift certificates at a restaurant. What is a certificate in the sense of like devices over the air, firmware updates, IoT? Can you give us like a quick blurb on this?
Sure. So a digital certificate is a unique identifier for a person or a machine or a laptop, or in our case that we're talking about today is an IoT device. And that is this unique credential that can be used to identify that specific endpoint and that can be used to authenticate to that endpoint when a sort of an exchange, a key exchange is done between that IoT device and then whatever cloud application or maybe a gateway that is trying to connect to it when that occurs. Another way I like to think about it is that it's a unique way to identify something. Like we have passports and we have driver's licenses, and those are validated by the country that we live in. And that's the validation authority. And we have to present some information about ourselves, like our birth certificate or some other information that is known and unique to us. And then we are issued that passport. So it's the same kind of thing. And we have to go through that process with any device or, you know, application that we want to be able to uniquely authenticate to. And that's kind of the basics of a certificate.
Got it. So passports for devices.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it.
Yeah, that makes sense. One question I wanted to ask on you guys, you know, for the product that you guys sell, we know a thing or two about open source at Verri. We worked with the open source community for years. It's tricky. This is not so easy. People, I think, love the idea of open source tools, but it can be challenging for a company to build an enterprise solution on top of an open source solution. What's been you guys' experience?
So open source is actually at the core of our sort of company, I guess you could say, from the beginning. And I think there's a lot of benefits that everybody knows, right? It's flexible. It allows our future customers to test out products and to be able to bring that code sort of into their lab environment and into their IoT device development process and then try to see what would work for them. And then I think the whole concept of the community where we have this as well as people kind of committing code back and saying, oh, this is a way to do this specific function or this specific integration, and this is what works for our application. I think that that's super cool and a great way to kind of have this sort of community aspect. So we definitely are doing that in our products, which we've got a signing product called Sign Server. We've got our main core product called EJBCA, and those sort of, there's a ton of documentation out there. And I think it gives people some peace of mind to be able to read and see how others have done it. I think from a seeding the market standpoint, it's been great for us. And we have then had customers that obviously have evolved to the enterprise version of our technology because they're in a domain that it maybe is more critical, right? Whether that's there's some compliance or there's like a regulation that makes them need to have more control specifically of the origin of the certificates, like we were talking about earlier. You need to have more control. You need to have more functionality. You need to have more support. You have audits, perhaps, and you don't want to be building your entire enterprise around something that is not really supported. So I think it's sort of like a migration where you kind of, depending on where you're starting, maybe your university, maybe your early stage startup in an innovation state, I think it's totally fine to be testing out using some of the open source platforms that we offer. But I think eventually, you know, you kind of migrate to that point where it's like, we got to invest in something a little bit more enterprise up wide. So that's kind of how we've been doing it with our partners.
One of the things that we found at Verry is we develop IoT solutions. But what we think, there is really no such thing as IoT companies, or at least the customers that we work with don't think of themselves in that way. You guys are solving this incredibly hard, incredibly important problem of helping companies that have a lot of devices. But do you find that they often do not think of themselves as IoT companies? They think of themselves as a television company or a manufacturing company. Has that been your experience as well?
Yeah. So you get someone and they come in and they're like the next gen robot or a exoskeleton company or autonomous vehicle or trucking company. And generally, they have great domain expertise. They know their product. They know the regulations. They know who's who. They know how to get stuff certified and that kind of thing. And it's just that they've been doing that for years, perhaps if they're coming from a more traditional industrial space, like a turbine or some sort of control system that maybe wasn't traditionally connected or constantly connected to the internet. But now then they're adding connectivity to it and then bam, you're IoT, right? But it's still, that's maybe a buzzword to them. But really what it is, and how we kind of work with those types of customers is to be able to bring that expertise that we get to see. And it's quite exciting to work with a variety of different verticals, is to see what people are doing in a wind turbine and like, how can that benefit something that maybe needs to be implemented in some other type of industrial controller or a laser cutting machine. So those types of things, if I think about like the IoT stack and where you secure different layers of it, it's pretty consistent from industry to industry. It's just the nuances of, you know, what's the operating system and how does it need to function? Where is it going to live? How long does it live? Is it battery operated? Is it not? But in general, there's consistent themes that we see when it comes to like connectivity and security across all industries.
Yeah. And I totally agree with your view that it's sort of fascinating to watch, like to be solving somewhat common problems across totally different industries and looking at the challenges that are, you know, televisions versus wind turbines, you know, maybe completely different use cases, but similar also core needs in terms of like certificate management. What's next for you guys? So you've been around, you know, Keyfactor's been around for a little while, sort of sits between startup and, I don't know, we have companies that have been around over 100 years. You guys sort of neither of those. What's next for Keyfactor?
So for us, and I just love being in the IoT space because I get to almost see or get a preview of what's coming next in the industry because they're reaching out, they're looking for information and they're saying, how do I secure this? And then I get to see these themes. So two themes that I've seen in the past several months are anything and everything autonomous. And that's again, from like a truck to a car to anything that's just kind of moving or shifting equipment. And that's been really interesting to see. So I think for us, it's our core platforms that issue these certs and manage these certs, that is constantly, we're improving. We have development teams, global development teams that are constantly improving those, getting ready for that quantum computing scenario that we mentioned. But we're also, in addition to improving those platforms, improving our integrations and connectivity into some of these new and emerging spaces. And then we do that by recognizing patterns and seeing what types of hardware are being used. Is there a gateway involved? Is there some kind of common theme? And again, we do that by industry vertical, because what's generally used by one is kind of also a reference by their competitor. The second industry where I am seeing some new projects is in OT security. And this is anything from like a connected factory where you're putting some sort of intelligence on the front of your production line to know how it's operating, or in a workstation, to managing a warehouse and, you know, work movement of materials going around a factory, like supply chain management, or even just shipping containers and tagging them and tracking them. And all of these in some manner are smart, you know, industrial applications or OT security. There's a bunch of different words that you can use for that. But I'm seeing a lot of that come up too. So that's also kind of interesting, because we have, and go back to the open source, we do have an open industrial PKI.org community where we also are working directly with several manufacturers. And we have a facility with one of our partners in Germany where we're testing out a lot of this stuff, because again, constant similar themes between companies, again, whether they're different types of equipment, but it's the same kind of thing. They're trying to secure the endpoint, secure the gateways, secure those like smart components that are being able to give them efficiencies within the factories.
Last question before I let you go. So you've been in IoT for a while and you've seen quite a bit. And a key factor, I imagine you guys are also, I mean, you're just seeing across so many verticals. Who out there in IoT land is doing a good job that you think not enough people are talking about?
Yeah. So my background is actually in lighting. And that my first like intro into IoT was because I worked for a company that decided to take streetlights and make them connected with this wireless mesh network so that you could then detect and control lights when you wanted to dim them, or if you wanted to detect if they were out and send a maintenance crew directly to that light pole. And this was back like over 10 years ago. And I'll just say, I'll leave it at that. But again, we wanted to put security in these things and we needed to create this mesh network. And we did a lot of learning really around how to design that network and have it sort of stand up and be able to connect back through all these hops to get the data back to the back end. That was kind of my intro. So now fast forward to today, I have a good friend who works for a company called Wirepass. So that company is really about solving problems where you have massive IoT deployments that require this mesh connectivity. And so the technology that they have, and again, I'm not at all an expert about it, but I think it's super cool because they have been able to deploy one of the largest mesh networks, about 1 million devices. And that allows, you know, really high density within a certain region. And that I think is super important when it comes to thinking about smart cities or smart factories or any of these sort of things where you need this like really highly reliable mesh network that is self-healing and where your nodes can turn into routers and all that sort of stuff. So that's kind of my understanding of it. I think it's cool. I think it's like an enabling technology, and I just, you know, wanted to kind of give them a little bit of press there.
I love it. Thanks for giving them a shout on the air. And Ellen, thank you for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. It's great to talk to you.
And thank you for listening. Join us next time as we meet with another executive and talk about things that went wrong on a journey that went right.
Over the Air is brought to you by Very. To find out more about us, head over to verypossible.com and make sure to search for Over the Air in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else great podcasts are found. Don't forget to click subscribe to ensure you don't miss any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Very, thanks for listening.